Everything from there back that way is eternity. Okay? Everything from there is eternity. Actually, eternity still goes along there too. God, in the beginning, we're going to see that verse, God created the heavens and the earth. What began in the beginning was time. Eternity. Imagine eternity. Eternity. Time's kind of stuck here in the middle of eternity. Okay? So, the story that we have, God's story to us through the Bible, is an invitation for you to find your identity, to find Christ, to find God, to get back with God and know who you are. You can never know who you are. You can never know your identity if you don't understand this story. Okay? No matter how long you live, no matter how much money you make, no matter what kind of relationships you have, you will never know who you are. You will never know who you were meant to be. You will never know your purpose until you know that story. Okay? Now, there's no verse in the Bible that just flat out says that time's going to last 7,000 years. I believe myself, from what I study and putting everything together, that it's going to last 7,000 years, but I can't prove that to you. But this timeline is 7,000 years. Also, when we get down here to the second coming, there's a lot of people, a lot of smart people that don't quite see things that'll happen from the second coming to the end of time the way I do, but I'm going to teach it the way I believe it. So, but just understand there's a lot of people who see it a little bit different, okay? So, Matthew 11, starting at 28, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's just one example of an invitation that this whole Bible is an invitation for us. God is seeking us, doing everything He can to get us to come to Him. And the only time you will find peace, the only time you'll find rest for your souls, or understand who you are, and when you know who you are, then you can rest, right? Is when you come to Jesus, okay? Now, you have a choice. The song that Scott sang said that God created man so He would have a people who would love Him because they really wanted to, okay? And even after man sinned, God said, "I'll make a way for them to come back. I'm not going to give them up. I'm going to go try to get them." So, but you still have a choice. Adam and Eve had a choice. You have a choice. You can make this choice. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end, their end is the way of death or destruction. You choose to go your own way. You ignore this story. You ignore God's invitation. You do it your way, and it ends up in destruction. Everything that's important to you, everything that's valuable to you, everything that you can find fulfillment in will wind up being destroyed, okay? But you have that choice. You can go your own way. How many of you went your own way for a long time? How'd that work out? No, I went my own way for a long time. I praise God that somebody loved me enough to tell me that story. Okay? So let's start. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That began in the beginning. Okay? Actually, I started to put Adam here, but I put creation. So we're going to do this timeline from Adam. But God, in the beginning, what began was time. Time began. Before time, there was eternity. After time, there's eternity. God's still in eternity. God's not in time. The Bible phrases it in ways that we can grasp it. It'll say, for example, that God looks ahead in time and sees all this stuff that's happened. But God's not really in time. The only reason there's time is because we have to be in time because we're matter. Okay? We're physical. But God's not in time. Are y'all with me? Okay, so what God did, that time is kind of floating out there in the air. I believe, by the way, that we're right here on this timeline. Okay? That's where I believe we are. So most of what God decided to have done when this started is done. Okay? Now, God said, and that song Scott sang, let us make man in our image. Who was God talking to? He was talking to the Son and the Spirit. So God is one God revealed us in three persons. Jesus was God. I know this is new to some of you. If you're new and you're coming to the discipleship lesson this afternoon, we'll explain all this to you. But Jesus was God born in the flesh. Okay? So God, talking to all the three persons of God, said, let us make man in our own image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish, over the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle and all the earth and over every creeping thing that is on the earth. So what did he make man for?
To serve him, to love him.
Mm-hmm. In his own image, right? So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. So God created mankind, male and female. Okay? God saw everything he had made, and it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Everything God had made out of what he created. When God created, he created before time, there was nothing. The Bible tells us that God spoke all this into existence. So he spoke everything into existence, and then over 6 days, he made everything that we now understand. On the sixth day, he made man. And after he got through on the sixth day, he said, it was very good. It was nothing bad. Okay? Chapter 2 goes and gives us a little bit of a replay how he did this. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. So he took some dirt, made a body out of it, put Adam's being into him and breathed into him, and he became a spiritual living being. We are a spiritual being. We possess a soul. That's what's who we are. That's us, and we live in a body. Okay, so this spiritual thing that you are, the spiritual being that you are, cannot ever rest, can never be satisfied until it's connected back to the Spirit who gave it. Are y'all with me? If you're not connected back to God, then you will experience what is called heart hunger, or you'll have a hole in your soul. There's nothing that can fill that hole except God himself. Okay, so everything God created was good. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it, for in the day you eat thereof you shall surely die. Man was created to live forever. The moment that you're conceived, okay, so you're down here. When you were conceived, at the moment of conception, some of you are further back here than the other ones. I'm on the wrong side. Back here, Lance is kind of back here. No, wherever you were conceived, at the moment you were conceived, you were going to live forever. Okay? You get to decide in this life where. And not only do you decide where you're going to live forever, I'm on the wrong side of the second coming, you get to decide how you're going to live in this life. Whether you have a life that is spiritual, fulfilling what God intended for it to be in the garden with Adam and Eve, or whether you do your own thing your own way, you get to decide. But once you were conceived, you will never cease to be. You will always be. You will always be conscious. You understand? You will never, you, the person, not your body, the person, will never sleep. Now, the Bible refers to people dying physically as sleeping, but it's their body that's asleep, not their soul. Your spiritual soul, once you were conceived, is awake and alert and conscious forever. Y'all with me, right? Okay, so, but God said, I want man to love me because he really wants to. If God didn't create an opposite way for him not to, and create an opposite, he didn't create an opposite pull, but use an opposite pull for them to make a different choice, then they wouldn't have loved him because they really wanted to. They'd love him because they had to. There wouldn't have been any other way. So he gave them a way to say, no, I don't want to be with you. He gave them a way to say, no, I want to do it my own way. And that's that tree. And they had that choice then, be with God or do their own thing. Right? And the Lord God said, I want to go back to that other one. It's not good. Now, the fall hadn't happened yet. Remember, on the end of the sixth day, he said everything was good. And then he looked and he saw Neil, and he said, Neil's all alone. It's not good. I'm going to make Monica for him. And that's not even a curse.
No, that's not a curse.
No. Said, it's not good that man be alone. I'll make a helper comparable to him. And we know what he did. He put Adam to sleep, took a rib out. I won't tell y'all that joke. I don't have time. Genesis 3. So the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit and ate. She gave it to her husband with her, and he ate.
My fault.
That's right. So what did they decide to do?
Go their own way.
What was the penalty? Death. What's another word for death? Separation. At the moment that you sin, when you're accountable for your sin, so babies don't count, but when you're accountable for your sin, at the moment that you sin, you're separated from God. And if you die physically, while you're dead spiritually or separated from God spiritually, you'll remain spiritually separated from God forever. Through that fishing line over there, that represents eternity. Understand? You have this life to be born again. You must be born again. Okay, so they ate, they rebelled. And it said that Adam and God killed an animal, an innocent animal, shed the blood of the animal. Because they were naked, they knew it, they were ashamed. Because now there was sin, he made clothes for them and clothed them. And I didn't put this verse in there, but he promised them before he left, before he kicked them out of the garden, that he would make them a way to come back to him. And that way involves somebody having to pay for what they done. So God is just, but God wants to justify us, which means look at you like you never sinned. But God cannot just say, okay, I like Jordan so much that I'm not going to count any sin against him, because God's not just, not holy anymore. So God's justice has to be satisfied for the payment of sin, so God can look at us and see us like we never sinned. Y'all still with me? So that's the beginning of having to shed blood. So what was the penalty of sin? Death. So somebody has to die. Okay, Adam and Eve died spiritually that moment. And they died physically later. The reason people die is sin. The reason people are spiritually separated from God is sin. The reason for every heartache, every turmoil, every war, every hateful comment, every divorce, everything that's ever happened in the world is sin. But who do people blame? God. It's all God's fault that I did this or I did this. It's God's fault I went out and got drunk and drove a car and had a wreck. Oh, yeah? You know, they tried to blame God in the garden. Did you know that? God said, why'd you do that? And Adam said, that woman you gave me. So whose fault was it? It was God's for giving Neil Monica. Okay, look. 1,000 years later, how do you think people have gotten in 1,000 years? The Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was on evil continually. How evil were they? Always, continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So what did he do? This is, if you can't read that, by the way, that's Noah. What did he do? He sent a flood, and he destroyed everything on the earth except Noah, his wife, his three sons, their wives, and two of each of the animals. Why did he do it? Because in 1,000 years, people had got so wicked that it repented God to the point that he said, I'm done. But it said Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. What's grace mean? Something that's unearned or unmerited. Did Noah deserve to be on the boat? No, God, but he loved God and served God, and so God counted what he did for righteousness and went ahead and saved him and his family. Did you know that it says in Matthew, Jesus said that how the earth would be when he come back? Said it'd be like it was in the days of Noah. The wickedness will be great again. You think maybe we qualify? That we're getting back close to there? Okay, look. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things, birds of the air. Anyway, I'm sorry that I made them, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Isn't that great? Did y'all know every one of us are related through Noah? Or one of his three sons? There's really just three races in the world. And they all go back to, so there's really just one. They go back to Adam, but more than that, they go back to Noah. Noah had three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Ham went toward Africa, Japheth went toward Europe, and Shem went toward Asia. So, and then they all stayed out there, and their DNA and everything that fixed it. So they're a little bit darker than I am, but we're still brothers, right? She's a little bit lighter than I am. But we're all still brothers, right? Michelle is half Asian, right? So we got all three brothers represented in here. True? So look, well, look what happens. Another 1,000 years, we're up to here. I will make, he talked to Abraham, I will make you a great nation, I will bless you, I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse them who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. What do you think he's talking about there? All the families of the earth will be blessed. That's a promise of Jesus. Now, Jesus is, you can see Jesus, everything from here to here is about this man. Everything from where we are to there is looking back to what he done. And there is looking forward to what he's going to do. The book is a book about Jesus. Everything in it points to Jesus. If you don't see Jesus in everything you read, you missed something. Right? So God made a covenant with Abraham. Abraham become the father of the three major religions in the world, right? Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. Abraham's son that God promised him he would have supernaturally. His name Isaac. Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau. Jacob had 12 sons. Those 12 sons become the patriarchs of the tribe of Israel. So Abraham is the father of the Jews. And that promise that anyone who blesses Israel, God will bless, and anyone who curses Israel, God will curse, is still true today. Okay? Ishmael, Abraham's son that he had with his handmaiden, become what we think of the Arab people. Okay? So we're down to here. God says, I'm going to make Jesus come through your line, and all the families of the earth will be blessed. Another man lived somewhere right in here named Job. I just want to show you, I'm just using him as a representative that even though Jesus hadn't come yet, and even though it wasn't just clear as a bell exactly who Jesus would be, they still knew a lot of what we know about Jesus today. Look what Job said. He lives somewhere right in here. For I know that my Redeemer lives. What did he say about Jesus? He's alive. He's alive right here. He's alive. My Redeemer is alive. What's a Redeemer? Somebody who buys you back. Right? He pays the price. I know. How many years is that? Another 3,000, another 2,500 years. I know my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand on at the last day on the earth. Where is he going to be standing? He was born there. Where is he still going to be standing? On the earth. Once eternity starts, what will the earth be? It'll be a new heaven and a new earth. Right? I know my Isn't that a neat thing? Isn't that great? Look at that. Job lived all those hundreds of years before Christ, and he said, I know my Redeemer lives. He's alive now. And after my skin is destroyed, after I rot in the grave, is that what he said? After I'm gone, I know that in my flesh. What does that mean? God's going to bring him back alive. I'll explain that more. In my flesh, I shall see God. Isn't that great? Whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold. Not another. I'm not going to be made into somebody else. I'm going to be the same guy that's alive today. My DNA, everything that makes me, my soul, will see God. So, Jordan Woods will never be anything. Now, this is kind of bad. Never be anybody else but Jordan. Never be anybody else. He'll be changed. He won't be such a snot. But, so you'll be able to live with him for an eternity. Isn't that, and what does he say? My heart yearns within me. What was he yearning for? For his Redeemer. He did that before, right? Okay, look. Exodus. We're up to Moses. 1,000, 2,000, 2,500 years. So when the Lord God, I preached this a couple weeks ago. Moses didn't know his identity. Moses was born into one culture, raised by another, and spent the next 40 years in another, and then God was calling him to do something totally different. But God called to Moses out of a burning bush that didn't burn up, told him to come near, take his shoes off and come near, an invitation to Moses from God to go get his people back out of captivity. His people were Abraham's descendants. They had gone into captivity to Egypt and had been in captivity for 400 years. God wanted them out of captivity, wanted to bring them into a promised land that's called Israel today, so that they could enjoy that promised land and Jesus could be born. Y'all with me? He told him, come on, I want to tell you all this stuff. I want you to be a part of all this. Jesus is referred to as a prophet like Moses. That's how important Moses was in this process. I don't have time to develop it. We could put lots of people down through there. But Moses said to God, look at that. What was Moses' question for y'all that wasn't here 2 weeks ago? Who am I? Moses said, who am I? How many times do we make a statement like that living over here? Who am I? Who am I to do this? I'm nobody. Everybody else has things going for them, but I don't. Who am I? I've already messed up my life. I've already done this. I've already done that. Who am I for God to want me? Right? What did Jesus come for? He came to pay that price, to buy you back, to redeem you, to give you a second birth, to give you a new start, to give you purpose, to give you direction, to answer that question, who am I? That's why Jesus came. Yeah. Does that not just float your boat? Isaiah. No, David. How come I got that there? Did we goof up? No. Isaiah was a prophet. He prophesied about Jesus. He said, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Right? Prophesying about who Jesus would be. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David, over his kingdom, to order it and establish with justice and with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever, even the zeal of the Lord will perform this. When we get to David, God made another covenant. He expanded this covenant with David about Jesus. Okay? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and bear a son. You'll call his name Emmanuel. So Jesus was to be born of a virgin, right? The Holy Spirit caused Mary to conceive. And Emmanuel means what? God with us. So Jesus was God with us. Jesus was God born in the flesh. That was prophesied 700 years before Christ. Okay? But listen, what Isaiah said would happen, some of the things Jesus would do. Remember back in the other prophecy, he said he'll be a king, he'll be great, he'll be wonderful. But listen to this part. He was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. So what did Christ have to do? He had to be beaten and rejected. All we, like sheep, have gone astray and turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, who? Jesus, the iniquity of us all. When did Isaiah write this? 700 years before Christ. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity or the sin of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, he opened not his mouth, he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Jesus didn't try to defend himself because he didn't need to defend himself because he came to die for us. Listen to this, it pleased the Lord, it pleased God to bruise him and put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, you shall see his seed, you shall prolong his days, the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. It pleased God to do all of those things to Jesus. Why? For us. Because that's what it took to satisfy the justice of God for our sin. God was pleased that sin had been paid for or would be paid for. He shall see the labor of his soul, shall be satisfied. What? God's justice will be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many. He shall bear their iniquities. Isn't that neat? Good stuff. But when time had fully come, we're down to here, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Why then? Why 4,000 years later? It was time. Everything is exactly the way God wanted it. It was time. Okay? Did you know the prophets from here to here saw significant mountaintop things? They, not one Old Testament prophet, I want you to get this. Where's the time? Oh, man. Y'all think the devil's the enemy. Time's the enemy. Not one Old Testament prophet saw from here to here. This period was missing. And there's a big reason why it was missing. But it was time. It was time. Everything was exactly the way God wanted it for Jesus to come. This is what the angel told Joseph when he found out Mary was going to have Jesus. But while he thought on these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is," what? "Of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Why was he born? To save us from our sins. What did he have to do? Die. What's the penalty for sin? Death. Did Jesus satisfy God? Was God pleased with his offering? And will he justify many because of what he done? Yes. Why was he born? So that we could have Christmas and give each other presents and have a little doll in a manger somewhere and say, "Oh, how cute." Why was he born? To die. God had to be born a man to die. God couldn't die. He had to be born as a man to live our life and die our death. Jesus was born to die. That's sad. "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated "God with us." Jesus, just before he's crucified, said, "The thief does not come." Who's the thief? Satan. "He does not come but to steal, kill, and destroy." You go your own way, what happens to you? Die, and you're destroyed. Destruction. Who helps you along the way? "I have come that they might have" what? "Life." What are you if you're not born again or connected back to God? Dead. Spiritually dead. "I come that they can have life." They can be born again and have it what? More abundantly. Have it now. Not just there. We often think of eternal life starting right there, right? And going that way. Not just there, but there. Have life and have it more abundantly. "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd what? Gives his life for his sheep. Over and over and over it says this. "Therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life." Anybody kill him? Did they really kill him? Did they really take him by force and put him up there? Did he lay it down? "I lay down my life that I may take it again." I lay it down. "No one takes it from me. I lay it down to myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This command have I received of my Father." When Jesus was on the cross, he said, before he went to the cross, he said, "I can, at any point," right? At any point, I could call 10,000 angels and they could get me off of here. Why did he stay up there? For us. For us. The nails physically held him up there, but the nails couldn't have kept him up there. He did it for us. On the cross, just before he died, during his trial, just before they crucified him, they brought him to the Roman ruler. He tried to let him go over and over and over, so I don't find any fault in him. The crowd's crying, crucify him. Pilate says, you do it. I don't see any reason to. They said, we can't do it. There's a law that says we can't do it. You do it. The Jews answer him, we have a law. But he ought to die because he has made himself what? The son, he says he's the Son of God. Why did the religious rulers want to kill him? Because he said he was the Son of God. That's why. That was what they said. Therefore, when Pilate heard that, he was more afraid. He didn't want anything to do with him. And went again into the praetorium and said to Jesus, where are you from? And Jesus gave him no answer. Pilate said to him, are you not speaking to me? Do you not know I have power to crucify you and power to release you? He says, you better be talking to me, dude. I'm in control of you. Jesus said, you could have no power at all against me except it's been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me has a greater sin. From then on, Pilate sought to release him even more. But the Jews kept saying, if you do, you're going to be in big trouble with Caesar. And as he was dying, Jesus said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost, gave up his soul. What did he come to do? Pay for our sins, to die, to pay for our sins. What did he finish? If he hadn't finished, he had stayed up there and finished it. He finished everything that was necessary. And then on the third day, the women go to the tomb. He's not there. The angels are there. Look what they say. He's risen. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. Today, this period, called the church age, or the age of grace. And God being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us. What great love? That. Him. That great love. Even when we were what? Dead in our sins and trespasses, has made us what? Alive together with Christ by what? Grace. Are you saved? Do you deserve it? No. But does God want to save you? Yes. Did Jesus pay the debt? Yes. Will you ever be worthy of it? No. Will it always be grace? Yes. Is it God's grace and mercy? Yes. But how much does he love you? Jesus is how much he loves you. No matter what you've done, no matter how messed up you are, no matter what you've ever done in the past, he died to give you life. Okay? By grace, you've been what? Saved. From what? Death. Penalty of sin is death from hell. By grace, something you don't earn or deserve, you've been saved. And this is not your own doing. You can't do good enough. It is the gift of God. Gift. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. But now, this is now. This is living now. For we are his workmanship. If you've been saved, you've been worked over. We're a new creation in Jesus Christ for good works. Good works can't save you, but if you get saved, what should follow? Good works. Because you've been created to good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. What that means is he's already decided how your life should be from this point on. And we're out of time. Y'all thought Jesus would come back today, but we're not going to get to him. You're going to have to wait a week for him to come back. Amazing story, is it not? Eternity back there, eternity there. Somewhere you entered eternity, somewhere along right about here, you entered eternity, wherever that is. And out there, as that goes on and on and on and on forever, you're going to exist forever. How much, looking at that timeline, imagine that just keeping on going. That's south, right? To Mexico. And that just keeping on going to the North Pole. That's a long ways, right? But that don't even start to explain eternity. But imagine if this is 7,000 years, how many of these it would take to get to the North Pole. If you die in your sins, you'll live those in hell. If you accept Jesus Christ, you'll live those in heaven. Actually, on the new earth, but in heaven. No matter what you've done in the past, do you think that the power that God used to raise him up from the dead, he can use to give you what you need to live the life that he wants you to live? If you believe that he rose from the dead, then you can believe that he can give you what you need to be the person you need to be. We're going to give an invitation. Some of you that maybe responded to the drama, or maybe you didn't, or any if you've been coming here for years, what I was thinking is maybe you responded to the drama that day. That was kind of chaotic. Everything was kind of emotional and everything. I'm just going to give everybody another opportunity. Everybody, whether you've been saved for 100 years or whether you just got saved, if you just want to come up and just take for a couple minutes to just reach out to God. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him to dead, you what? You will be saved. Saved from what? Penalty of sin, right? So you have that invitation. If y'all stand, I'm not going to have you raise your hand, stand out in the aisle, do none of that kind of stuff. But you have this invitation to come.